were listening to a message from the traditional service at St. Peter's United Methodist Church in Katy, Texas.
It's been 1 year since the flooding from Hurricane Harvey, and we're remembering that today in our service as we have already said the prayer together, remembering those experiences of a year ago. And at the end, here in a few moments, we're going to light some candles further, remembering what has happened over the last year that was caused by the flooding from Hurricane Harvey. Many of you experienced that yourselves, whether there was flooding in your house. Some of you, maybe all of you in one way or another, helped someone who was flooded if you yourself were not, or even some of you, if you were flooded, you still helped out others. Today, I opened my phone and Facebook reminded me that 1 year ago today, I was in the closet in our master bedroom hiding because the tornadoes were coming. And so I have a picture of Jency and Jenna and I in the closet. It was 1 year ago, all these things were going on. And so we wanted to pause and remember what happened this time a year ago, but we want to remember it through the lens of hope and be reminded over again that God is faithful and true. He is our strength and our refuge. In fact, I just about quoted to you the scripture that I want to share from Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. If you have a new Bible, I mean like a brand new Bible, and you want to turn to it, it's page 643, third graders. 643. And it is Psalm 46, verse 1. Now, it's a little different because I use the New Revised Standard Version, but it's a whole lot closer than some. And I was trying to look and see what Common English Bible is what y'all have. So it's just really the last part, but it means the same thing. Here is what Psalm 46, verse 1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's so easy. I thought all of us should memorize it today. So see it on the screen and read it out with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now turn it off. Now you say it to me. That's one of the most simple ones I've asked you to memorize, isn't it? And it's so powerful and so true and so short. How wonderful it is just to memorize that verse for us so that we can remember no matter what happens in our life, no matter what we go through in our life, whether the floods are coming, whether there's loss of a loved one in our family, whether we're struggling because of our job or whatever it might be, whatever is causing us trouble, we can go to God and say, you know, God, I need you to be my refuge. I need to come and be in your presence. I need you to be the one to give me strength. I know that you're here with me, even in the midst of this trouble. Now, if we read it from the third grader's Bible, God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. Again, the same message for us to remember. So, children, 643, did y'all find it? Who's a third grader and did you find it? Did you find it? Is that verse underlined in yours? What color is that? It's pink. You may tell you why? Because Kim had to take the color pink. She didn't choose it. She was just, sometimes you just get assigned things, okay? And so Kim was assigned the color pink, and that's one of her favorite verses. Okay? So she's got two more that you get to find, right? So this is from the book of Psalm. There's also one in the Old Testament further back, although Psalm is also in the Old Testament, and one in the New Testament. Okay, so when you go looking for mine, mine is underlined in yellow. Okay, so I'll even give you a little heads up there if you want it, since you're sitting on the front row. Let's see, go to 871. 871 in your Bible. And I'll find it here in a second. There it is. Now, 871, it's in the book of Jeremiah. It's the 29th chapter, and it's verse 11. You find it? Yes, I heard that, yes. Great. So it's yellow, so that's mine. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, plans for a future with hope." Now, the words in here might be slightly different. I have it memorized in another version. But that's what that passage says, right? And I think that's such a powerful passage. I've shared with the congregation over time why it's my favorite passage of Scripture. And it speaks clearly. But see, when I underlined that, I wasn't even thinking at all about this day that they would be getting their third grade Bible. And here, that verse, my favorite, is about God's hope. And we're having a service of hope today. Truth is, the book is filled with promises of God's hope for us, okay? Now, children, third graders, I shouldn't say children because, gosh, y'all are getting so old, right? So third graders, understand that if you flip through this Bible, you'll find another from me, underlined in yellow, in Psalm. If I would look around Psalm 100 if I were you. But at any rate, and then if you go over into Matthew, you'll find another, and it says something about the greatest commandment. Just a hint. Okay, so we picked an Old Testament, a Psalm, and a New Testament. Pastor Parker and Pastor Alex and Pastor Jameson, even before his surgery, he was able to get his highlighted. So you'll find all of those. Each of us have three different ones, and I hope you'll mark them, find them, write down who underlined which one, and then I hope you'll read them and study them and learn them. So in the spirit of, first of all, remembering what has happened in the last year and our service of hope. Secondly, remembering that this is our third grade Bible Sunday, it would be helpful for us to understand how to use the Bible. So as Alex and Parker and I, the pastors preaching today and doing this service of hope and also giving third grade Bibles, we talked about what we might do in the message today. Alex shared with us, in fact, a prayer that he received back in his seminary days, which was, I don't know, 100 years ago or so for him. And it's by Thomas Cranmer, who actually is, he wrote this in the 1550s. And this is a prayer about the Bible. So let me share with you this prayer. Blessed Lord, which has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, since I got astray a minute ago, I didn't mention that when I said, God is our refuge and strength, a very help in trouble, this is the word of God for the people of God, and you would say, thanks be to God indeed. And now, let's go forth. Using this prayer from Thomas Cranmer, I want to kind of quickly go over the ways in which we should use the Bible. First, we should hear it. You don't have to be an employee of the church for very long. For that matter, you don't have to be a member or one who attends church for very long to realize that most people hear the word, because when they come to the church, they hear the word proclaimed. As we just read it together, I shared with you the word of God. You've heard it now. But for some, that's all they do. They hear it, they go home, and that's the end of it, right? That should not be the end. We shouldn't just hear the word of God that is read. It's not a bad thing. It just shouldn't be all there is to it. Some read. They read along with us on the screens. They may even read a little bit while the sermon gets boring. They may even go home and read a little bit. But as good as that is, it's not the end of what we should do. We should hear. We should read. But as he goes on, we should mark the Bible. Think about it. We went through and marked these Bibles. It's brand new to our third graders. They don't have to worry about not wanting to mark in it because we've already done it. See, we broke it in for them. Now they can go in and start marking their Bibles when they find their favorite passages of Scripture. They can write a note out beside it or highlight it. I think it's important to write in the Bible for maybe when you're reading it at a particular time, the word that you are highlighting, the words you discover is speaking to your life in that moment. And you might say, this is so important to me right now because, and then later when you go back to it, you can see what was happening in your life and maybe even what it may be saying to you today. So you hear it, you read it, and you mark it. I remember when I first got the Bible, I was 16 years old when I became a Christian, and people started talking about marking in their Bible, and I was like, no, you know, that's God's word. Don't do that. And then I remember my teacher said, you know, it's not what we worship. It's not an idol, if you will. It's a tool that we use for who we do worship to help us understand God whom we worship. Okay, it is a tool that helps us, and we are to mark it accordingly. But don't stop there. We are also to learn it, to understand it. Not to just mark it so we might come back later and go, oh yeah, I remember that. That's a great verse. It was speaking to me then. But maybe as we try to learn it, we dig a little deeper. We say, what is this verse saying to the people for which it was written? What was the context for that? In other words, what was going on that Jeremiah spoke the word of God to the people of Israel? Listen, folks, I have some plans for you. These are plans for your welfare, for your good, not for harm. Plans for a future with hope. What was going on in Israel? What was happening to God's people? What was the context for it? That's what it means to learn to dive in and to see what God was saying to them right then and there. And then let it come alive to span the centuries into our own life and see how that word might speak to us. But it becomes, I believe, even more powerful when we understand this God who loved those people and wanted the best for those people. It's the same God that loves us and wants the best for us. So really learn it, get into it. Now, at the end of the day, when we do this, we know we really can't stop there. We must go on. We must actually digest this. And that's what Thomas Cranmer was praying for, you know, that we hear it, that we read it, that we mark it, that we learn it, but that we actually digest the words of God so that we may embrace this, the word of God, that we might ever hold fast to these blessed words so that we can experience the blessedness that God gave us through Jesus Christ. That's what we must do. We must digest the word. Think about this. Digest. What an interesting word for him to say. It's like this. It's the food that God feeds us. His word becomes a part of our life, of who we are. Have you ever heard the saying, you are what you eat? Well, you're looking at a pizza and hamburger right now, okay? I mean, those are my favorite foods, okay? So if that's true, then we can say that the food that we eat, you know, becomes the energy, it becomes the muscle, it becomes the fat. The food becomes a part of who we are, and when it becomes a part of who we are, then the very movement of our hands, the movement of our mouth, the steps that we take are partly caused by the food that we have brought in and digested, and it became a part of who we are. We could say we move today because of the food we have eaten. It's become integral to who we are. In the same way, then, when we study God's word and we truly digest it, as Thomas Cranmer has said, then we let God's word come into us and energize us and give us the strength that we need and give us the power that we need and give us the energy that we need so that every movement of our body, every movement of our hands, every word we speak, every step we take is powered by the word of God. We've become so entangled, so involved. We have become God's word that is living and breathing and been brought into us, so that we've digested it. In a way then, as we think about that, somehow the food, the word of God becomes the food that feeds our soul and becomes who we are. These words, then, we understand are not just some words scribbled here on a page, but they have become for us a part of who we are, so that God's love, then, is hard to distinguish between our love. Meaning this, if we love God with all that is within us, and that becomes part of who we are, and that love flows out to others, how do they distinguish our actions and our words because of who I am or because who God is through me, right? Literally, the Word of God becomes a part of us. And so everything we do then can be powered by the energy that is given to us through God's Word. When we get right down to it, then hearing, reading, marking, learning is all in vain if we do not let God's Word become a part of who we are, if we do not digest God's Word. So God's Word then, it's not about the head, it's about the heart. We must let God's Word come into our heart. These words are not so much about acting a certain way, they're about being a certain way, being a creature inspired, energized by the Word of God. And it's because of this Word of God, then, that we gather together as God's people and we remember what God has brought us through. We remember that God wants good for us and not harm, and that God wants us to have a future with hope. And that's why we gather, remembering this year, remembering other things in our lives that have caused us struggle and trouble. And we know that God is with us and God wants the best for us and God gives us that hope. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you're so wonderful. You love us so much more than we could ever comprehend. Your Bible is filled with examples of that love. So we ask, oh God, now that you continue to show us your love as demonstrated through Jesus Christ, and that we might understand each and every day, and especially on this day in which we look back to what was going on a year ago, that you are indeed our refuge, our strength, your very present help in time of trouble. And we are grateful. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about St. Peter's and our mission to connect the world with God's love, please visit us at stpkaty.org. God bless.